Thanks, Jerry, Joe. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Right now, we will talk to you out there. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Minnesota Twins. Another frustrating game. Oh, you think that they've kind of figured it out. Scoring 9 runs last night, hitting 4 home runs. You got Pat Dean on the mound today, who is a guy that last year's Blue Jays would have scored 40 runs against, would have knocked him out of the game in the second inning, or at least the second time through the order. Now, it certainly doesn't help that Josh Donaldson gets thrown out in the first inning for yelling at either a member of the Twins or a fan who was giving it to him for not running out his ground ball to shortstop. Home plate umpire Toby Basner thought it was him and gave him the thumb. So the Blue Jays have Ryan Goins in there, who is now 8 for his last 87 after going 0 for 3 tonight in the or today in the second spot in the batting order. But really what it comes down to is 2 runs in 8 innings. 2 runs in 8 innings, and no matter how well your pitchers are pitching, you can't expect to win that game. And they didn't. Now, was the bottom of the 8th particularly ugly? Yes, it was. Jay Happ comes out to pitch the bottom of the 8th, throwing a 1-hit shutout, comes out against the bottom of the Twins order, and goes single, walk, popped up bunt, and double. And he's done. As he should be. Gavin Floyd comes in, hits the first guy he faces, then gives up the 3-run homer that breaks the Blue Jays' backs, and they lose 5-3. It is not another bullpen loss. Jay Happ gets the loss in this game, but the bullpen came in and did not get the job done. Now, Michael Saunders homers in the 9th. That doesn't happen if the Twins don't go ahead, whatever. But with the Blue Jays offense doing what it's been doing, how long are you going to send out your bullpen and have it be perfect until you can score a run? It's amazing to see this team struggling to score as much as it is. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Indraj is in Brampton. You're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Hi. I just wanted to, thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And I just wanted to talk about, I wanted to talk about the Jays bullpen, but, I've come to expect this from them now for the last, couple of days or so, blowing leads all the time. So I kind of wanted to focus my attention on, maybe Russell Martin. I've had a lot of problems with him now. I feel like he's been really ineffective, and I just want to give your thoughts on, trading a guy like Russell Martin for someone more effective.
Well, first of all,
doing the job.
Right. So if you think he should be traded for not doing the job, why would somebody give you a better player for him?
I don't know. Because of his track record, someone might take him.
Well, because of his track record, don't you think he'll improve?
I think you've also seen his batting average. I feel like every time he comes up to plate, he's always striking out. I'm just really ticked off right now.
Well, I'm sorry that you're ticked off. I think frustrated is probably the better emotional reaction. It's not like he's not trying. But he's obviously having a very hard time. Now, he did get a hit today, and he is 6 for his last 24. So that's .250. Which means it's a lot better than the 160 or whatever his batting average is. He is striking out at a higher rate now than he has ever struck out over the course of his career. But again, he's 31? Guys like that don't just fall right off and become terrible players all of a sudden. And just like the rest of the Blue Jays, I get that it's frustrating and that he and Troy Tulowitzki are kind of the standard bearers for frustrating Blue Jays offense, though Tulo is starting to turn it around and he's hitting close to .300 over the last 2 weeks. But first of all, Russ Martin, you're not going to do better defensively than Russ Martin. You are certainly not going to be able to trade him and improve at the position. So this is something you have to live with until Russ turns it around. And again, if the team is hitting the way it is, you can hide one or two guys who are cold, but when six or seven are, then you're in all kinds of trouble. We will take more of your calls. Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Five runs in the eighth for the Twins. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That was another frustrating loss for your Toronto Blue Jays. They fall 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Five runs in the eighth. Jay Happ takes the one-hit shutout into the eighth inning. Gives up a couple, gives way to Gavin Floyd, who gives up a three-run homer to Eduardo Nunez. The series wraps tomorrow afternoon. Blue Jays still have a chance to take 3 out of 4. We're on at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for a 2:10 first pitch. Marcus Stroman against Phil Hughes, who has been struggling. But boy, have the Blue Jays made struggling starting pitchers look awfully good to this point this season, including today against Pat Dean. Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590, right up until 6 p.m. Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Vic Palladian, Tom Rominski, and Mark Boffa, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. That was another frustrating loss for your Toronto Blue Jays. They fall 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Five runs in the eighth. Jay Happ takes the one-hit shutout into the eighth inning. Gives up a couple, gives way to Gavin Floyd, who gives up a three-run homer to Eduardo Nunez. The series wraps tomorrow afternoon. Blue Jays still have a chance to take 3 out of 4. We're on at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for a 2:10 first pitch. Marcus Stroman against Phil Hughes, who has been struggling. But boy, have the Blue Jays made struggling starting pitchers look awfully good to this point this season, including today against Pat Dean. Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590, right up until 6 p.m. Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Vic Palladian, Tom Rominski, and Mark Boffa, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. See you later.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Ground ball hit down to third. Kloof has it, throws it on the first. Twins win it 5-3.
That's how it ended. The Blue Jays fall 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Jay Happ, 7 innings of one-hit shutout, but it all falls apart in the eighth. Gavin Floyd doesn't help matters by giving up a 3-run homer. And the Blue Jays get one back in the ninth, but lose 5-3. The Twins are now 11-31 on the season. The Blue Jays 21-24. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We will hear from Josh Donaldson, who was thrown out in the first inning of the game. We will hear from Ross Atkins, Blue Jays GM, who spoke to Jamie Campbell prior to the game. We might hear from John Gibbons as well. And more importantly, we'll hear from you. *416-870-0590*590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jay is in Aurelia. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hey, Mike. You said something earlier I agreed with. You said when you score 2 runs, you can't expect to win the game. And I agree with you. I mean, if you would have told me, Blue Jays are scoring 2 runs against Minnesota, are they going to win or lose? I'd say, well, probably lose.
Right.
But when you tell me you've got a 2-run lead in the top of the eighth and Jay Happ is cruising, should they win? Well, of course they should win most of the time. But let's move on to my next point, because I want to talk about Darren Mastroianni.
Okay.
And I remember, I'm sorry, I'm shifting gears here. And by the way, the Jays won the first 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. They could win tomorrow, and taking 3 out of 4 is always a great thing. So Darren Mastroianni, if I were to rank, I don't know, let's say there's 400 players, not including pitchers, in the whole Major League Baseball, he'd probably be in the bottom 10%. He is awful, and I just will never forget how brutal he was when the Blue Jays brought him up a few years ago at the end of the season, and he just couldn't do anything right. And here we have J-Hap having a fantastic pitching performance, and Darren Mastroianni walks two times. This is an unbelievable enigma, almost as hard to figure out as how this Blue Jays' unbelievable offensive club is hitting so poorly. Of all the players, and Mastroianni's run, I don't know if it ends up being the winning run or the go-ahead run, I'm not sure.
It's a tying run.
Probably one of those. It was the walk that he scored on that double. And it just goes to show how unpredictable this game is and how you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, we keep saying the odds are going to change, this can't continue. But when Floyd came in the game, which I thought was the right move, and I was sort of like, okay, good, he's been pitching pretty well this year. And then kaboom, he gives up the home run. But I don't find myself getting as frustrated as I would have a few weeks ago because we're getting so conditioned to this. So hopefully things will change. And that's about it. Just wanted to vent. Thanks for listening.
Okay, and I appreciate the venting, and you're absolutely right. Darren Mastroianni is not a guy you should walk. He's not as bad as you think he is because you're only remembering that little tiny piece of time when he was with the Blue Jays, and he was pretty bad, it's true. He has had years where he's hit lefties well. Well, he's had year where he's hit lefties well, but that was with Minnesota. But Darren Mastroianni is not a guy you should be walking in the eighth inning of a tie game. So you're absolutely right on that score. And it's sad but true that a lot of people are being conditioned to losses like this. Now, there's a lot of confirmation bias in there, and then there's a lot of, I don't know what the, maybe someone who has a master's or a PhD in psych can let me know. I only have a BA, but I don't know what it's called. But when you think negative so that you can either be right or be happy to be wrong, that's what a lot of Blue Jays fans have been conditioned to do as well with the way this year has gone. You go into the eighth, you think, oh, no, we're going to blow this. And if they don't, hey, you're happy the Blue Jays won, everything's great. And if they do, hey, look at me, how smart I am. I was right. They blew it. There's a lot of that happening right now. But it's sort of deserved. I mean, this bullpen, in combination with the complete and utter lack of offense, has led to a 21-24 record that really feels a lot worse than it is. 21-24 is not good. It is not that bad, but it's not good. But it feels like, you know, if I told you the Blue Jays were 15-30 this year, I don't think anybody would be surprised, given the feeling around the team. And it was another tough one today. Gary is in Swindon, England. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How's things across the pond?
Yeah, not too bad. The Blue Jays are just as bad as they've been over there as they are here, so there we go.
Yeah, it's too bad they're not playing a little bit better over there.
No, it's a shame really, isn't it? I suppose my question is, I've been a long-time fan of the show. I download it every day on the podcast.
Thank you.
I suppose the question is, I listened to the Mark Shapiro interview yesterday. I think it was done by Jeff Blair. And
yes.
He's disappointed in the team.
Yeah.
A lot of people have obviously been saying that the team doesn't have many players to sort of trade at the trade deadline, etc., sort of high-value players. My question, I guess, is what area do you think Shapiro will actually aim to strengthen on the basis that Schultz, Loop, and Travis are obviously on rehab assignments now, whilst they could be injured, you know, during those assignments?
Sure, or, yeah, there could be setbacks.
No one can realistically expect every single player to come back how they have been in the past. And with Cecil, you know, we don't know the extent of his injury and how long he's going to be out. I did hear about a month, and that would be a fourth player coming in. So that's three players potentially for the bullpen. We know that the team had the players and had the talent. What area do you think he would actually look to strengthen on that basis?
First of all, love the British turn of phrase. We know that the team have the talent. You will not hear that on this side unless some people are talking about soccer where they try to speak Britishly.
I'm a big fan of that as well. So.
Yeah. But here's the thing for me. To use a British term, because I'm enjoying this, the idea that the Blue Jays don't have anything in the minor leagues to trade is poppycock. There's not as much as there was last year, but when you look at all those trades that were made, how many high-value prospects were actually moved? There was Daniel Norris and there was Jeff Hoffman, and really, that's it. There were a lot of B prospects and a lot of C and D prospects. So the Blue Jays definitely still have the stock in the minor leagues and a few very highly regarded players. But I don't believe that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins want to move high-value young players because they want to build a great farm system. And the way to do that is not by, trading players for short-term fixes. So, you're right on the guys coming back. Aaron Loop is having a hard time in his rehab, and he had a bad year last year, so I don't know how much you can depend on him. Bo Schultz was fantastic for a month, but just a month, and then he got hurt. He was pitching hurt. So hopefully, Bo Schultz is having a hard time too. He was terrible last night in his rehab outing for the Buffalo Bisons, and Cecil will be at least a month. So I don't know if that's where you're looking for the reinforcements. But I think that the only thing they can do right now is try to shuffle the deck chairs in that bullpen. And, there are no deals to be made. There's Neil Kotz, who's out there, who just got DFA'd. He's a lefty who can get lefties out. But they have a lefty who can get lefties out in Chad Jurado. So, that, maybe you want another instead of a righty who's probably not getting the job done. I don't know. For me, Drew Storen is so huge in this equation. Because if Drew Storen was anything like the guy the Blue Jays thought they were getting, then almost all of this is moot. Then Storen and Asuna are a great 1-2 punch, and they're winning a lot of these games that they're losing. And you can go to Storen today to face Danny Santana with two on and nobody out and be confident and maybe even get out of it after put the first two guys on. So I really do think that, until for another 3 weeks to a month until the trades start to loosen up, there's really nothing you can do except hope the guys who are supposed to be better start being better.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you for being a loyal listener over across the pond there in the United Kingdom in Great Britain. We appreciate it a great deal. Josh Donaldson got thrown out of this game in the first inning. It seemed as though it was a misunderstanding by home plate umpire Toby Basner. Thought Donaldson was yelling at him, but he was yelling at either a fan or somebody in the Twins dugout. The worst part of the whole thing is the ump show. The fact that Toby Basner thinks that 30,460 people came to watch him umpire a game. And that he's going to run the reigning American League MVP. How many people you think were there for the first time, first ball game ever, came down from Winnipeg or wherever, want to see Josh Donaldson and the Blue Jays, and they get one at bat and he gets run? I mean, that's just, it's embarrassing. To further the embarrassment, and I didn't put this on Twitter because I'm really afraid. I know that there are a lot of people who who kind of, when I retweet really stupid things that people say, there are people on my Twitter feed who will go after them and tell them how terrible they are and all this stuff. I never want that to happen. And that's one of the reasons I didn't retweet this, because I didn't want this woman to get attacked. But Toby Basner, the home plate umpire, his wife put on Facebook how proud she was of her husband for throwing out Josh Donaldson. She put a hashtag boss and a couple of pictures of him getting the thumb. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I think that is embarrassing. I don't want you to attack her on Facebook or anything like that. Please don't. It's just something really, really stupid that she did. but it kind of gives you a little bit of insight into what these guys, what these umpires are thinking. That you running an MVP makes your wife proud of you. Anyway, we'll take some more calls in a second, but first, let's hear from Josh Donaldson. Here's what he had to say after the game.
What happened? Well, you know, I grounded out to short, you know, kind of jogged to first base. As I was jogging back, you know, something was said to me from the twin side of the dugout about how I was running to first base. I decided to respond. And next thing I knew, I was getting ejected. First off, I kind of want to apologize first to my team and to the fans who showed up to the game today, because you know, they paid good money to come watch, you know, our team play, and you know, myself be in the game. My intentions were not to say anything to Toby or to be ejected at all.
Obviously, the home plate umpire thought you were talking to him.
He must have. I mean, I don't know why he would be thinking I was talking to him in any kind of derogatory manner. We have no previous history between each other. There's no, you know, conflict between him and I. That's why I was kind of so shocked to see why I got thrown out so quickly.
Is there any discussion during the at bat with you and Toby?
The first pitch, it was, you know, at the bottom, near the bottom of the zone, which was called a ball. And somebody from the other dugout said, hey, that's not down. The 2-0 pitch was around the same area, was called a strike. And I said, hey, don't allow them to chirp you and then change your zone. If it's a strike, it's a strike. I don't care. But the whole fact of the matter is, it's a borderline pitch. He had somebody in his ear, decided it was a strike. If it's a strike, it's a strike. Whatever. I was 2-0. I mean, even when the strike's called, I'm still 2-1. I got out on the next pitch. I mean, I've gotten out several times this year. It's not like that out was that much more different than any of the other times I've gotten out.
How tough is that sitting in here?
It's tough. It's tough. You know, our guys are out there. You know, we're in the, you know, feeling pretty good about ourselves the last couple of days, and then for me to get ejected, coming off a pretty good night last night, it's not something you want to do, because it hinders. Now we're having to use guys off our bench, and you know, I'm not able to play in the game.
You didn't really get to face them much, but a guy like Dean, does that seem like a pitcher that this lineup could generally be able to handle?
Well, I mean, I normally I don't mind seeing left-handed pitchers. You know, he was able to get me on my first at bat. But with that being said, I mean, I didn't get to experience him more than once. That's really all I have to say about that.
So there's a contrite Josh Donaldson, and again, apologizing to the fans and to his teammates. But the fact of the matter is, like he hinted at but didn't say specifically, Toby Basner, the home plate umpire, has to be more aware of the situation. Why would Josh Donaldson scream at him after coming back from grounding out to shortstop? Just got to look up. You don't hear a player yell at somebody and just throw them out. And that's the thing. And it, you know, it's the thing we discuss about umpires all the time. I don't want to get into this whining about umpire thing, but it's a thing that we discuss about umpires a lot. It feels as though a lot of them just don't have a simple feel for a baseball game. And whether that comes up with issuing warnings or not issuing warnings when batters get hit by pitches or get their towers buzzed, throwing guys out, when to, when not to, going after arguments themselves. There's just a lot of them don't seem to have a feel for the game. And I was talking to a Blue Jay on Wednesday, and he said to me, the younger the umpires get, the worse they are. And that should be, it should be the exact opposite. The 30-year-olds should be the best in the game. But Toby Basner, one of the younger umpires, runs Josh Donaldson for yelling at somebody in the Twins dugout, and his wife brags about it on Facebook. Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Steve is in Bear Lake, Ontario. Steve, happy long weekend.
Yeah, same to you, Mike. Thanks a lot. Not a good. I was listening to the ejection on my way up here, and my jaw just dropped, man. This is our best player, Mike. This is our best hitter, and he got a one-game suspension. Literally, a one-game suspension for a misunderstanding.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, that's ridiculous. That's disgraceful. It's unacceptable. You know, this guy could have cost us the game. Josh Donaldson is a game changer.
Yep.
He got a home run last night. He hit another one off the wall, I believe, last night.
He did.
The guy's starting to get his stroke back, and he gets a one-game suspension for, you know, why didn't the umpire hear the chirping from the Minnesota Twins dugout? I mean, Donaldson did. Why didn't the umpire? I just don't believe it. It's just, it's like a circus show.
It is really unfortunate. It really is. That.
It could have cost us the game.
Yeah, it could have. It very
well
could
have. Another one. Just another game, you know? Yeah. Like, as we can afford it. Now, I don't know, Mike. These umpires, I mean, I'd like to know how many balls and strikes this clown behind the plate got correct, because they have that little thing on the side, eh?
I'd say it was probably around.
Right or wrong. This guy's a clown, and so is his wife. But he did the first stupid thing. She just followed up with it. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right.
Let me vent.
I appreciate it. No problem, Steve. Happy to let you get that off your chest. I would say he probably got 80 to 85% of the calls right, as most umpires do, which is not enough. But they're human, so what are you going to do? But that bothers me less than this, than throwing him out. Brian is in Truro, Nova Scotia. Hello, Brian.
Hey.
Welcome to the program.
First of all, I got to tell you, listeners, I'm putting on a great big pot of fiddleheads for supper.
Oh, beautiful.
You ever had those?
No, I have not. With
they're green fern. They're great.
Yeah. Season's no, I've intended never to have had fiddleheads.
They're
good. Go ahead.
Listen, I want to make a little comment, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
You've got two real good ball players, good hitters, good second baseman, Goins and Baptista.
Batista's not a second baseman.
No, but he's a fielder.
Goins is not a good hitter.
For a real good closer, a good pitcher.
No.
Yeah, they're begging. They're begging for people like him. And that Goins, it's just in his prime. You got a good man to replace him, that Barney. I'm very, very impressed with him.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy. You understand that Goins is currently 8 for his last 87, right?
I'm well aware of that.
Okay,
but
so
you know what? He'll come out of that. And by the way, I would like to see somebody pull in Ricky Romero as assistant pitching coach. You not think so?
No, and I don't know why you would take a shot at Ricky Romero like that. I think that's pretty crass and ugly of you. You know, Ricky Romero had some real problems after having been an all-star for the Blue Jays. I'm confused as to why you would find it a good idea to call a national radio program and insult him for no reason. I'm not sure. I mean, unless Ricky Romero actually did something to you at some point in time, which I doubt very much. So to address the part that I think you were being serious about, the Blue Jays are not a better team without Jose Bautista. And I know that the following notion has been suggested in various media outlets. The idea that the Blue Jays could get a really good late inning reliever for Ryan Goins. No, Ryan Goins does not have anywhere near that kind of trade value. Ryan Goins is lovely, and Blue Jays fans love Ryan Goins, as they should. Nice guy and a phenomenal middle infield defender. Not a good hitter, and, you know, struggling mightily with the bat this year. That's not an accurate reflection of who he is. Ryan Goins is not a guy you expect to hit under 100. But Ryan Goins has had one above average offensive month in his entire major league career. He's not a good hitter, and he's not going to bring you anything like Darwin Barney. Okay, Darwin Barney, a lovely piece as well. Phenomenal defensive middle infielder. Almost as good as Goins. A little bit better of a hitter than Goins, but still not a good hitter. The Blue Jays got him for nothing from the LA Dodgers for cash, which is under $100,000 in a trade from the LA Dodgers. And then re-signed him in the offseason to a contract for $1 million. That's what Ryan Goins is worth. Ryan Goins in a trade is worth cash or a player to be named later. That's it. You're not getting a closer for him. Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Another frustrating and awful way to lose. Mike is in Ottawa. Up to the nation's capital we go.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for putting me on.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Two things I would have liked to see Gibby entertain in this game is I would have liked to see maybe him get Osuna in the eighth inning.
How many times are you going to use him for six outs? I mean, this is not game seven of the World Series.
Well, he didn't pitch in yesterday's game, Mike. So
he pitched two innings the game before.
Yeah, but he should have been rested for that.
I think he could have done it.
Yeah.
The question is,
before.
Yeah, but the question is, how often are you going to do that?
You're on a two-game winning streak,
right?
Mike. You have a chance to move it to three. I don't know if that's important or not in the grand scheme of things, but
it's not.
He had a chance to tie a bow on the win here, I think. And if he had brought Osuna in, I think it would have been a great thing. And another
when did you want him in, though?
Well, you're going to take issue with this as well, Mike.
Okay.
You're going to say after J-Hap caught the pop-up, I think it was the first out in the inning, you brought him in then. You know what, Mike? I would have even brought him in the batter before.
A guy pitching.
And you're going to tell me. I know.
Hold on. Yeah, let me tell you. You got a guy who's thrown seven innings of one hitter.
Yeah.
He gives up a leadoff single that's like 4 inches away from Troy Tulowitzki's dive.
And only throw 90 pitches at that point in time.
And he's facing the 7, 8, 9 hitters of the worst team in baseball. And you're going to your closer there with six outs to go?
Mike, I would still do it in that situation.
I don't think you would have in that situation in real life. I think maybe now that you're looking back on it, you would have.
No, Mike, when the play was on, as soon as he walked the second batter, I think the first batter got a hit.
Yeah.
And the second batter walked.
You said you would have done it before the walk.
No, I said I would have done it before the pop fly.
Oh, before the bunt. Okay, yeah. So first and second, nobody out,
I brought him in.
That's a little more sane. But.
Yeah, so you don't think I've completely lost my marbles, Mike. The other move that I was wondering about, yesterday in the game when the Blue Jays had two runs, they got Paredes in the game. Of course, it was a different situation. Two runs for the Blue Jays in this game. Mike, do you think they possibly could have got Paredes in the game?
I was very, 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 very surprised that Paredes did not come in straight up for Donaldson when he got thrown out.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
But I think it's because J-Hap has become more of a ground ball guy. I mean, until that game against Tampa, which skews his whole season's numbers badly. But J-Hap had been sort of almost a ground ball machine over the course of his first to six or seven starts. And so when you have a guy who's going to get a lot of ground balls, you're afraid of Jimmy Paredes because he's not a good defender.
You don't think maybe that Tulo could have cheated a little bit over to his side?
No, I would have brought him in. I would have brought in Paredes there. I was very surprised to see that he didn't.
So you agree with me on that one?
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for that, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. But I don't agree with you using Roberto Osuna for six outs. You have your ace on the mound, or at least the guy who's pitched like your ace. Pitching a one-hitter. Yeah, he's in trouble, first and second. Nobody out, but it's the bottom of the order against a team that hasn't hit all year. You gotta stick with Hap for a little bit. Give him a chance to get out of it. So he was one ground ball away from getting out of the inning, and he gave up the two-run double to Danny Santana. But Roberto Osuna is your closer. He's not your six-out closer. There has to be somebody else reliable in that Blue Jays bullpen. It has been Gavin Floyd a lot. It's been Joe Biagini. It really hasn't been too many other people, unfortunately. Robert in Woodbridge. Hello, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Oh, you know.
I think the last caller is feeling exactly what every single Jays fan is feeling, that our bullpen, aside from Osuna, you want to give credit to Biagini for the work he's done lately. Everyone else should not be pitching in these tight games. And I can make this point very clear. How many games do you believe the Jays lost when tied or leading after the seventh inning this year?
I think it's four, right? Or is that just leading?
15 games. That means one in every three games so far, the Jays have lost a game when tied or leading in the seventh inning.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that. I did some research while on hold.
Okay, and so if it's four losses, that means 11 times they've lost a game when they're tied in the seventh inning or later.
No, 15 games this year.
No. You said tied or leading. I'm just saying tied, only tied. Because they've only lost four games that they've been leading through seven, which is not only. I mean, you would expect the team to lose like two or three times.
15 games tied or leading.
Right. I understand that. What I'm telling you now is that means that it's 11 when they're tied. And often when they're tied, they're not scoring any more runs. When some other teams, you know, will occasionally score a late run, the Blue Jays really haven't been doing that. So the bullpen.
With that being said, this is where I'm going with that.
All right.
We need, and I know people aren't going to like this, we need Sanchez back in the eighth spot, in the eighth inning as a setup man. He's proven that he's really good at that role. Drew Storen has proven he's not. I understand where the last caller said Osuna in the eighth inning, but that's because we are lacking in other pitchers to take over that role.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, and I find it hilarious.
If we could have Osuna pitching five innings every game, we would love it.
Robert, are we going to have a conversation, or are you just going to be talking at me this whole time?
No, we can have a conversation.
Okay, so if we're going to have a conversation, that means you have to occasionally stop talking.
Okay.
All right. I find it mind-blowing that in the spring, people were lining up to tell me how stupid I was for suggesting that the Blue Jays were considering having Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen. And now people are saying it is the thing that you need to do. And it's not a terrible idea. The only problem is he's been so good out of the starting rotation. But you're right. The Blue Jays are losing a lot of games because of an unreliable bullpen. Though, again, I contend.
With Sanchez in the eighth inning, it allows him to pitch three, possibly four out of every five games. I'm just saying a one inning, if he goes two games, then he rests, and then he goes another two, rest, something like that. And this is in high leverage situations, which hopefully when our bats come, we won't be in this kind of situation.
But that's the thing too, right? When the bats come around, you won't need Sanchez back there.
We're not just looking for now, because we're talking even when these games are going to be more important. I know they're still very important. Now, I guess the bottom line is what I'm trying to say is Chavez, Floyd, and Storen, every single time they're pitching, every single Jays fan heart stops, and the struggle is just so evident. And I know that you're very close to the team, but take a step back. And you have to see them. They get hit hard every single time.
And didn't Gavin Floyd have like an ERA under two coming into the game today?
Gavin Floyd's come in and he's given up a home run. That's, even if it's five times this year or four times, that's too many times for a guy who's being put in leverage situations.
I don't think Gavin Floyd's given up four or five home runs this year. I can remember he gave up that one home run to Mazzara in the tie game. He gave up a big double to Todd Frazier, and he gave up that home run today. So that's three times where Gavin Floyd has come in and not gotten the job done. But if memory serves, he's been pretty good. And as I look here,
do you think Storen is worth anything going back to the NL?
Nobody's gonna give you anything.
$8.5 million, this guy.
No one's going to give you anything for Drew Storen right now. Gavin Floyd's given up three home runs this year.
Is there a bag of balls or something that we could maybe use the money for in the future?
No. Not a bag of balls. Don't be ridiculous. But nobody's taking Drew Storen and giving and eating that contract the way he's pitching. It's, you know, the way it works is not that teams are lining up to take struggling players. The way it works is that struggling players have no value until they can figure themselves out, unless you're going to give them away for free. And in Drew Storen's case, it would mean give him away and pay his contract. So that's not happening. He's going to have to try to work stuff out here. Gavin Floyd, going into this appearance today, had allowed 16 base runners in 20 innings with 21 strikeouts. He had given up 2 home runs. So what you're saying you feel when Gavin Floyd comes into a game does not actually compute based on the way he's pitched. Although now, in 45 games of the Blue Jays season, he has given up 3 game-changing hits that have resulted in Blue Jays losses. It's tough. It really is. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. But again, I'll put it as plainly as I can, and then we got to take a break. The producers of Primetime Sports did the work. Bob McCown put the info out there on Friday night. If the Blue Jays were scoring 5.5 runs a game like they did last year, and I understand that doesn't mean they scored 5.5 runs every game. That's why you have to take this all with a grain of salt, but it's overwhelming. If the Blue Jays had scored 5.5 runs a game this year, they would be 33-12 right now. It's the offense. Even with a bullpen pitching as badly as it's been pitching, it's the offense. We'll take the break. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls. Blue Jays fall 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Strike one, pitch, fly ball deep left field. Back for it goes Grossman. That ball is up, up, and there she goes. A 2-run home run for Jose Bautista. He hits home plate. They're standing here down the left-hand side at Target Field. The Blue Jays are in flight, leading the Twins 2-0.
2-run homer in the third inning gave the Blue Jays a 2-0 lead. Sound a lot like yesterday, when a 2-run homer by Josh Donaldson in the third inning gave the Blue Jays a 2-0 lead, and they went on to a 9-3 win. But no Josh Donaldson today, because he was run in the first inning for yelling at the Minnesota Twins dugout after the Twins were chirping him for not running out a ground ball. Home plate umpire Toby Basner thought Donaldson was yelling at him. Threw him out of the game, because that's what umpires do. 30,460 apparently were there to watch Toby Basner umpire home plate. The mistake and the embarrassment of that was compounded by the fact that his wife, the home plate umpire, Basner's wife, went on Facebook with pictures of the ejection, praising her husband for running the MVP. Just awful stuff. Blue Jays go on to lose the game 5-3, which was awfuler, giving up 5 runs in the 8th inning. Jay Happ and Gavin Floyd combined. I'm Mike Wilner, taking your calls till the top of the hour. Let's go out to Donald in Las Vegas. Hello, sir.
Mr. Wilner, I was hoping you'd let me switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, whatever you want.
The game has been well dealt with, and sadly, it's a repetitive story.
Unfortunately.
So I was trying to get through the other night. I wanted your opinion on the play at second base with Joe Mauer and Tulo.
Yeah, when he came off the bag with
opportunity where the play went for us, so that it doesn't sound like a homer call.
Uh-huh.
I wanted your opinion, and then I wanted to give you my opinion, if you don't mind.
My opinion is that the rule in baseball, since baseball has started, is that you have to be in contact with the base when you are tagged with the ball, and if not, you are out. I see no reason why that should change.
Well, thank you for your opinion. In my opinion, it's a nonsense call. It's not a baseball call. Yes, that is the rule. The neighborhood rule was in effect for decades.
Which is also horrible, I thought.
But there's 123 pages in the Major League rule book. You know, when was the last time Rule 3.09 was enforced, where it says that players cannot fraternize with other players from the other team when they're in uniform, and that the umpire can call you out or an award a base based on that. That's in the rule.
Well,
book.
But there are also laws that say you can't walk a moose down the street, and you know, on pain of, you know, there are anachronistic stuff that doesn't deserve to be in there.
But my real concern is safety, though. You know, because
safety.
I don't think they took the kinetics into account here. How are the players supposed to slide into the base without ever losing contact with it?
Don't pop up.
Well, then we're going to go back to head first slides, right?
And no.
Jamming our...
No. Sliding feet first doesn't mean you have to pop up after you slide. Just slide feet first and stay on the ground. So but the only reason...
natural motion, right?
The natural motion is not to pop up. Absolutely not to pop up. The pop-up slide is because in case the ball gets away, you can be ready to run to another base. The natural slide, the natural motion is just to complete your slide and stay down.
But at first base, you're allowed to run through the base.
Yes.
And as long as you don't make a turn towards second, that's fine.
Correct.
At home plate, the second you touch the plate, the play is over.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So my point is, once you've achieved the base, you should get the base.
So the once you've achieved the base.
Shouldn't be different than, and really just second, right? Because this doesn't really happen at third.
Well, but it's happened at third. I mean, the Blue Jays got a couple of those at third last year. But so let's say, for the sake of argument, and just to move it to a silly level, let's say you slide into second base. You think the ball, you've claimed the base. You think the ball got into center field, but it didn't. So you take a hard step towards third, and then you jump back on the base when you realize that the ball is in the shortstop's hand and he tags you. You claimed the base. You didn't really go anywhere.
And that's exactly where you and I disagree on robot umpires. I think that is an umpire judgment call. The same thing is you run through first base and...
You think that's a judgment call?
Absolutely. Whether or not the player was trying to advance or not. If the player is trying to advance...
Okay, let's say he's not trying to advance. Let's take
him and he's out.
But let's take that... Okay, let's take that completely out of the equation. You slide into second base.
Yes.
You have claimed the base. You get up and you take a step off the base to dust yourself off. You're not going anywhere. Nothing is happening. You get tagged. Are you safe or are you out?
Depends whether you put your hand up and ask for time.
You have not asked for time.
Then you're out.
Right. Same thing as popping off the base when you slide.
But what I'm saying is the ability to slide into the base without ever losing contact with it is going to, I believe, limit... I think you're going to see less players trying to stretch singles into doubles. I think you're going to see less steal attempts, and I think you're going to see more injuries. I really do.
You know what? I appreciate your reasoned and rational attempt at argument. I honestly think you're so off base. Just don't pop up. I don't know.
Off base,
I know.
I'd be out.
Pardon the pun, but I didn't want to say you were up a tree or something. I thought that might be a little insulting. But
fair enough.
Look, don't pop up. It's simple as that. If you don't pop up, you maintain control with the base, you're fine. The play's over, you ask for time, you stand up. I don't understand why it's a big deal.
Well, you do agree. If you're sliding in head first, right?
Yeah.
There's an opportunity where you've moved past your head and your hand and your sort of stomach before you get to your foot, and you are technically off the base, right?
Yeah, there's that little millisecond in time.
They're going to call that.
Well, they might now. But the deal is you have to be.
They never have called that.
No, you have to be touching the base.
But I'm saying at that moment you're not touching the base, and if the infielder has his glove, on you, they're not calling that one. So all I'm saying is that they do. There's some choice in how they're enforcing this new rule, and I think it's all because of HDTV and replay and all of that.
Replay's awesome.
I do think that there should be some sort of claiming the base.
I disagree.
Clearly beat
if you're not touching the base and somebody tags you, you're out.
Okay.
Period.
Well,
and I don't even think
really
for the
appreciate your opinion.
Yeah, for the Tulowitzki play that you're referring to, the umpire should have seen that. He was six inches off the base.
I was waiting for one that went in our favor,
right?
So that it didn't look like
No, and I appreciate that, but I know that there are a lot of people who think that that's kind of a ticky tack call, and they should just let it go, but. For me, it's the same as if you're diving back into first and a guy has you by an eighth of an inch, you're out. Sorry. You weren't in contact with the base.
But you do agree there's other rules in the books that are not enforced, right?
The fraternization rule has nothing to do with the game. How about something that has something to do with the game?
I'm just simply saying it's in the book.
Okay, but so what?
So I'm just saying that, maybe we should take a look at
does the rule book still say that you can only play during the day? Does it still say that there are no black people allowed to play?
No, those have all been updated.
Okay, good.
The fraternization rule is just one that comes up because, I see it in the minor leagues, right?
It has nothing to do.
I've seen umpires throw guys out at first base because they were chatting with the first baseman.
No, you haven't. No, yeah. You haven't.
Yeah.
No, not in the last 70 years you haven't.
No, right here at the Las Vegas 51s.
No chance.
Absolutely true.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
He put his hand on the shoulder of the first baseman, and the umpire threw him up.
Then that umpire should be fired immediately. That is insane. Thank you, Donald. I appreciate the call and the conversation. And honestly, look, I know that there are guys who say that call, when a guy's popping off the bag, they shouldn't make that call. Well, stay on the damn base. That's the rule. Stay on the base. Martin's in Hamilton. Hello, Martin.
I wanted to see, you know, we can both agree that the starting pitching has been very good this year. The bullpen hasn't been good, and the offense has also not been good, right?
Correct, yes.
Now, we can also agree that, I think you also said it earlier, so obviously you agree, that if the offense was good, all the issues would be forgotten, most likely.
Yes. Well, we wouldn't be paying much attention to them because they'd be in first place, and they'd be winning a bunch of games, and everybody would be really happy.
Yeah, so... You know, a couple callers today have said, you know, they've seemed to give opinions about how they could kickstart this team because the offense isn't at the peak ability right now. So I had a similar opinion like that, if I could throw it your way. So
sure.
What if we put in a sixth person into the rotation? Now, I'll get to my reasoning right away, just in case you completely disagree.
Yeah, I want that reasoning. Why would you mess with something that's working so well?
So the reason why is just that. It's working so well right now that, you know, right now, do you have the numbers of, you know, the average length that the Blue Jays starters are going? Is it probably 7?
I don't think it's quite 7.
Yeah, so my opinion on that was if we did bring in a sixth person, maybe Hutchison, maybe Chavez, I can't really think of another person.
Okay.
And we got that number up to 7, maybe 7 1/3, then we would have less of a need for the bullpen that's struggling right now. And then we could bring in, we could bring in our closer actually for the ninth inning and possibly, you know, a 4-out or a 5-out save. What do you think about that?
I don't like it. I'll tell you exactly, by the way, the Blue Jays starting rotation is averaging 6 1/3 innings per start. Exactly. Even through today's game. I don't like it. You're bringing in, the team's not hitting. You're bringing in another starting pitcher who isn't as good. You are allowing yourself to use your starting pitchers who are very good less often. You're taking starts away from them by putting a sixth guy in. You are... certainly not guaranteeing that they're going to be able to get deeper into games. I don't think that anyone in the baseball cognoscenti would suggest that because you're going every sixth day instead of every fifth, that you should be pitching, throwing 125 to 140 pitches instead of 100 to 115. So I just don't think any of it makes sense.
Yeah, and like, you know, I've been watching the whole season, and that's what it's come down to. I'm trying to think of these crazy / you know, tiny bit of hope ideas that could maybe kickstart this team, because we can both agree that the offense should be something that will eventually take care of itself in terms of getting better, right? So in the meantime, what are we going to do to fix that team? Because I don't want us to be, you know, 55 games into the season and we're still in this trouble right now.
Well, they might be. The only thing that's going to fix it is that they're going to start hitting. That's the only thing that's going to fix this team, is that the offense starts to perform like the offense is supposed to perform. You know, maybe score 5 runs every once in a while, beat a team when you give up 4. I was so hoping that the Twins would tack on a cheesy run late yesterday so we could finally shut up about the fact that the Blue Jays haven't won a game this season when they've allowed at least 4 runs. The only thing that's going to help is starting to hit. That's it. Blue Jays lose 5-3 to the Minnesota Twins. We'll continue to take your calls for another few minutes before we hand things over to Roger Lajoie. Scott is in Barrie. Hey, Scott.
Mike, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
Not too bad. I swear I wouldn't ask you that, and there you go. I jumped dead to anyone. So my question is about pitching into the eighth inning for starters. Starts last year. I'm at the 12th game of the 11th the 11 game win streak.
The first one or the second one? Oh, the August one.
The second one in August. And so Price is up against the Yankees. He goes seven innings. Wasn't that strong. He gave up eight hits or something like that. And they still had a shutout, 3-0. And they trot him out for another look at the rotation. And they light him up in the eighth. They bring in Sanchez. And Sanchez has inherited runners. He was money last year, but still, he gives up a couple of hits. The Yankees go ahead and win the game. So I start watching this eight innings. Should we be maybe putting in a setup man as opposed to running the starter out when you've only got a safe situation? You know,
today you thought Jay Happ shouldn't have come out for the eighth?
You know, it's a tough call today, and the question is sort of...
It's not a tough call today.
Well,
it's not tough at all today.
You put Jay Happ out. I get that.
Right.
But in general, you're running... You know, you're against the Twins. You're the bottom of the rotation. Of course you put Jay Happ out today.
Yep.
But in general, that's not the call. You've got a two-run lead, a three-run lead. You're going up against, whether it's the Yankees or the Red Sox. And you've been through the rotation three times.
The lineup, yes.
The lineup three times. Do you put your starter out in the eighth inning? He's gone 90 plus pitches, or do you put your setup guy in?
If you had a reliable setup guy, there would not be a question. They don't.
But
they don't.
But does your bullpen have a little bit better chance of success when they're not inheriting runners?
Well, yeah, but you hope that they're not going to be inheriting runners when you put your starter back out there because he's pitching well. Now, the thing is, I want to get as many outs from my better pitchers as I possibly can. And if a guy is still in the 90s in a pitch count going into the eighth with a lead, it means he's thrown a hell of a game. And I don't have a problem sending him back out there. If Drew Storen was Drew Storen, no problem. Send him out, start the eighth. I don't care. He pitches the eighth, the sooner pitches the ninth, and the starting pitchers can whine if they want. But they don't have a reliable eighth inning guy. And Gavin Floyd was one of the reliable ones. He coughed it up today. So
with inherited runners.
Yeah, but he gave up a three-run home run. He hit the first guy he faced on the first pitch. That had nothing to do with people being on base.
Well,
he only had one inherited runner.
I hear Jerry with the call saying that he's worried about the guys behind him, not the guy in front of him.
You know what? The truth of the matter is, over 100-plus years of Major League Baseball, it has been scientifically proven that having runners on base like that, being worried about it, even with Ricky Henderson, doesn't change the performance of the pitcher. Maybe no. Gavin Floyd was a little bit worried about the guy at second base who was going to try to steal third. He still gave up a three-run home run to a guy who had hit two home runs this season.
So maybe he should be thinking more about the guy in front of him, but still, I just wonder about the possibility, and I don't know if anyone's ever run the stats. You said it's scientifically proven that inherited runners don't make a difference to pitchers' performance?
Well, the dancing base runners don't make a difference to pitchers' performance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate it. It's just, you know what? You got to do your job, right? You can't. These guys are professional baseball players. They're really good major league pitchers. And if they can't handle coming into a game with a runner on base, then they shouldn't be in the big leagues. And 45 games into a season, you can't say, all right, this has been determined. These guys are awful. They can't get the job done. They are not getting the job done. Very clearly, helped out by an offense that is not doing anything. But you can't baby them. You can't say we're only bringing in our relievers to start innings when there's no one on base because we don't trust them with people on base. This inherited runners thing is going to normalize. It's awful. The Blue Jays are 29th out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball at stranding inherited runners, while the every other bullpen metric has them squarely in the middle of the pack. So it makes no sense at all. So it's going to normalize, but it is frustrating as hell to watch while we wait for it to normalize. And it happened again today. But, you know, Gavin Floyd came in with one inherited runner in a tie game, and he gave up a three-run homer. That's not because he came into the game with Danny Santana on second base. But also, let's not forget, the Blue Jays got two runs on five hits through the first eight innings. And I do understand you should protect a two-run lead in the eighth. But it should have been a six-run lead. Got to start hitting, and then hopefully they start tomorrow. We're on at 12:30 for a 1:10 first pitch. Marcus Stroman against Phil Hughes. And we will see you then.